And with Toni Shelton, she is absolutely branding her heart.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to a new edition of Teaching Transitions, where we help aspiring entrepreneurs overcome their fears by hearing success stories. Today, we have Toni Shelton. How are you today?
I'm doing well. The Lord woke me up this morning, so.
Yes, amen. So, our moniker now is, hey, I have a question.
Okay.
So, my question today for you is, what are you inspired by in this place in your life?
That is a huge question. And a lot of things went through my mind. Right now, it's like ironic because it's Transitions podcast, but it's like,
yeah,
I often reflect on right now, my life feels like it's in transition. I'm thinking of the work that I do. So I work for a nonprofit that I'm super duper passionate about. I love the mission. I love what we stand for. As a matter of fact, we had to reschedule just so that I could be here on time because we were doing a community engagement event. But I think it's the kids that I serve that inspire me. And why I say that is because there are certain things that I am just now coming to the realization that they exist. Right. And that's about exposure.
Like, let's pause right there. Certain things you're realizing that exist. Give me an example.
So I'm someone that really just doesn't travel that much, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just now trying to, like, I'm terrified of flying, right?
No.
I don't know if
you're talking about right. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. I am the most, like, extroverted, introverted person that you could probably ever meet. Like, mm-hmm. I love, like, performing and, like, doing things, but when it comes to like being in like large crowds of people, that gives me like intense anxiety. But something so much as like flying, right? A lot of the kids that I'd work with, specifically at one of the campuses that I was at, we would talk about things. Like, we played this one game and it was like, name 10 restaurants. And I just remember the restaurants that they named were very much so local brands, like very much so. Like, I was just like expanding horizons. And so for me, it's like I'm inspired and motivated because I feel that if once people are exposed, you know, that people talk about that third eye, but it's just like once you're exposed to like a lot more and you see a lot more, I think that it's, you can make more
stop me.
It's like you can make more informed decisions about your life, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
But when you're limited in your experiences and your environment, and so I say all of that to say, I've never been outside of Central Texas. Mm. I was born in Waco, raised in Killeen, came to college at Baylor, went to grad school,
got a job
at Baylor, like didn't go anywhere else for grad school, got a job in Waco, then got another job in Waco. And so it's just like,
this is main area.
I'm just like, I love
it. I thought you traveled a little bit with Big 12, or was that just Alfred?
No, that was just Alfred,
Okay.
No, that was just Alfred.
Okay, so what do you have your eyes set on then? What's your next step to get out of Central Texas?
I really love the Dallas area.
Mm.
Like, I am semi-obsessed with Dallas. I think the art scene is cool. I love the fact that, okay, being completely honest, being from Killeen, you see a lot of different races of people in different areas.
Really?
My experience, being from Fort Hood, because the military brings people from all over the country.
Right.
So wherever they, you know, wherever the soldiers settle and they marry and they have children and things like that, and you bring, so I'm used to seeing all kinds of people, right? And I think in Waco, it is very much so different in that there are just pockets of areas, and this is where, you know, this group of people go and this where they're, and so I'm just like, I like going to Dallas because I see some of everything. And I think
that,
I'm ready
that
for
was
that.
Interesting for us too, just diversity wise.
That's
what we were looking for. But I think one of the things that was kind of, it kind of threw us off, was it still like so segregated, especially
in the Dallas area?
Yeah, especially in the schools.
Okay.
And so we moved to a suburb, and like the suburb, when looking at like their school, the great school score or something like that, it said it was very diverse, but nah, not like that. like diverse in the way that I was expecting it to be, and we were expecting it to be, essentially.
May I ask what the predominant race was?
Yeah, it was mostly white.
Okay.
And I felt like there was no real escape for us when trying to like educate our son. And then especially with the history and how he'll contextualize his life, that was really important for us. But I knew I wanted to pour into a public school system and not homeschool him, because then that's like another form of segregation. So we find ourselves in this hole. But outside of that, in your search of freedom with the book that you wrote,
I like the way that you did yes. that. I love the way that you transitioned into that.
Yes. In your search of freedom, what are some, let's see, what are some ways that in your life that you are searching for an outlet or clarity so that you're not impacted by other perspectives?
Yeah. Oh, that's big. I'm someone that's typically very active, very involved, very much so trying to do things, pushing the lens. You remember in school, like throwing bleach on hats and, you know, really just trying to do things and being,
still got it. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say trying to, you know, we trying to do a little something, something, but like always like being involved. Like I was in portraits and like ran the drama department. You know, I would do like write poetry and perform it. I ended up going the social work route, for schooling, which that I don't like being caged in. I think you understand. I like the freedom to, but I also like to connect people, right? So one of the things that I wanted to like say was, for a second, I worked part-time at a shoe store while I was also working full-time for my nonprofit. And one of my like bragging points was that because I was in the capacity and the environment with Foot Action is where I worked, I asked the DM, I'm like, hey, we're trying to get some promo for this grant that we have. We're trying to get kids excited. Do you think you can swing me some gift cards? And after like continuously like pushing and stuff, he ended up giving my agency a certain amount of gift cards. And they were $100 gift cards as a donation, right? We gave our first one away to one of our high school kids who's like an amazing kid, young guy coming up. And so for me, it's just like we can do things like that all the time. So I'm like, I'm always trying to think of like new and innovative ways to like connect people, right? So just because you're an account, like just because I work for a nonprofit and, you know, just I don't like being in a box. I feel like it takes all of us, you know.
Yeah.
And that didn't answer none of your questions. So ask me again what you said.
No, I'm just like in your search of freedom.
Yeah.
Where are you looking to be released or gain perspective? So what does freedom look like for you? And then what part of your life are you mainly looking for that right now?
Oh, I see. Wow. Freedom to me looks like just having time. I'm somebody that always feels like I don't have any time. I always just feel like
go.
I always feel like I'm on the go. I always feel like I'm behind the power curve. I always feel like somebody is asking like, you know, something of me or to do something. And on top of that, I like to do things, right?
Yeah.
So it's like this weird, like push and pull between, having time to relax. Like my favorite days are like when I don't have anything to do on Saturday and I just get up and I go to a coffee shop and I just read. So it's like, and I like to just sip on coffee and just read books and by the sun. There's a place in Waco called Fabled, and it's just like,
we just listened to that. Like literally we walked past and I was like, let's go in.
Go
here.
Inside. Fabled is so Fabled
they
is
so
not
many cute like sitting areas.
Fabled does not pay me and they should, because I am forever like on Instagram tag. You know this about me, like for the most part, I like to highlight the cool things. I feel like it's cool, so I feel like everybody should.
Yeah, I saw the other day they had Waco tours and I'm like, is that authentic? Is that what the, you know, the commercial side wants to see, or is that, are you showing like true Waco? I wonder whose lens that is really coming from. Like, what is that tour about? But if you had to do a tour for Waco outside of Fabled, what are some other hot spots that you get inspiration from?
Oh man. I like so I have a very close friend that owns a business in the East Waco area, Dominique Rocco Boats. And so I often spend probably about 2 or 3 days a week at Rock My Style Barbershop. It's in a historically black area. So it was like super duper important for him. Like, I think it was, I think it spoke volumes for him to his first actual business where you own the building, you own the land. That is in.
I saw him He's developing that
lane. Yeah, he really is. He is really doing an awesome job, I think, as someone that's close to him and seen him personally and professionally grow, you know, the community development aspect, because not only has he really tapped into the resources for his job and things, he is now even employing other people. And I've always been able to utilize his services to benefit things that I have going, right? So I told you I worked in the after school sector. Maybe I didn't say that, but I worked in an after school program.
Yeah.
And Rocco about twice a year would donate free haircuts to the kids as well as sponges and brushes. Oh, like, wow. I could always count on him. He sat on my advisory board. Yeah. And when we had outlandish ideas, he would say, girl, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or, oh, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So he was on the advisory board for CIS?
He was on the advisory board for the other program, but maybe, look, I'm waiting. Yeah. Look, when he watches this, he's going to be like, I'm not doing nothing else for you, but I am inspired by him, and I'm inspired by just a lot of people that I feel like we always want to paint this lens of perfection, but the reality is, I'm renting a home from my 84-year-old sorority sister who is basically a grandmother to me. And she, her husband, Rob King, did so much for the city of Waco. A lot of the things that we enjoy and benefit from here are because of the hard work and the sacrifice that both of them put in years and years ago. And one thing that I can say is they stayed here and watched things progress, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I'm inspired by the 76704 in particular area. Mm-hmm. It's not where it used to be at all.
We came and it was just like, we're almost a culture shock.
Where's
the exit? Like, the exit is like 2 miles.
But you weren't culture shocked by where the Fabled area is? When we were in school, sis, they didn't have all of that.
Yeah, no.
They did not have none of that.
One of the biggest things was like the welcome center that they are building. And I was like, all that space for a welcome center? What are you welcoming? Like, who are you welcoming? So, I think they're also in the transition phase to, like, this Ivy League.
Baylor?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was the rumor even when we were there. So, it's like, it was just like, oh, that's why that parking lot is not a parking lot no more. It's grass.
Yeah.
You know, the rumor was just
So maybe the Welcome Center is not going to be big. Maybe it's just going to be, like, a small lot and they're going to have grass or something right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but do you honestly and truly like, and I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, but it's like, do you fault people for wanting to elevate and do more? And I know you're the one that's supposed to be asking me questions, but the reality is just like, do you fault people for like, okay, this is the level that I'm at now, but I want to get to this level. So I'm going to do all of these things to get to that level, even if other people around me are not necessarily benefiting or agree with
that. What I think is, especially before we came into entrepreneurship and just looking at the lens of education, there was so much focus on equity and equality. And we're going to have a public school, and we're going to have a charter school, and we're going to have private schools, and then we're going to have really, really expensive public schools. Like, you have to live in a certain area in order to attend there. And all of it was missing the mark. So it's not my focus anymore. Or you have homeschools too, homeschool children too, but then you realize that homeschool is not really homeschool. Like, they have groups of homeschoolers that's like, you have like a homeschooler coalition. So it's still like, 10 people, 10 families in a room. You guys pay for that room. And the parents just choose the curriculum. So there's never an answer to how do we provide equity for our community.
Who is our?
Like, let's just say minority communities. There's never an answer. So are you talking
about, like, and this is not me being, like, facetious. It's like, when you say our communities, right? Because you're from the bigger city. And I would wager that a lot of minorities, for the longest time, I thought it comes down to race. And a lot of the times it does. And I touch on that a little bit in the book. We touch on colorism and things of that nature. But I think for our generation, who's been at least college educated once, some of us twice, I think money talks. And I think I'm fierce. I don't have children yet. Yeah. But I'm fiercely interested in seeing what parenting looks like for those black kids that did come up in homes where mom made 80K and up and dad made six figures or not, or both of us made 50K, right. But we invested well, we're educated, we exposed them. So like your mindset about what the norm is and right. what black looks like is going to be very...
It's not... Yeah.
So that classism.
I completely agree, especially with social media.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I relate. I empathize with that concept opposed to what color that aligns with.
Right.
Whereas when we were in person, it was just like, whoever looks like me, I'm going to kind of mold myself to do the things that they're doing
right.
to be included. So I absolutely agree with that. But let's just say I came from a really low income background.
Okay.
So when I say minority, I'm meaning low income.
Okay.
Let me just say that in that context, when we're looking at equity and equality, those are kind of things that we hear in education.
Okay.
That doesn't really show anywhere. Like, we don't see that in the classroom. We don't see it politically. We don't see it in the classroom. We don't see it at the superintendent level. So that's why I'm like, that is something that is not like lower class is not going to end up being elevated or even being able to relate to elevation until there is some type of exposure. So before I was an entrepreneur, I would have said equity. Now I just say do what gets you an opportunity.
Mm. And sometimes look, I'm like, I don't know where y'all, because I'm like, sometimes right. What gets you an opportunity might be at the expense of somebody else. You know, like,
yeah,
the way the system is set up, all of us can't win. And the question I think that people are having is, can we all win and can that winning look different? But instead, the system that we're in, capitalism, is just like, only if I'm doing like super duper well, it's at the expense of you.
Right.
And so why would I want to do less well so that you could do better? You get what I'm saying? So it's like pitting the people against one another.
Right.
It's like fighting over a limited amount of resources. Right. To whereas now we're like, well, we're in the internet age. So who's controlling what resources are that were actually available to you?
So I agree with that. And as I age and I develop my perspective, I realize that we don't have a real concept of how much opportunity is out there.
When you say we, you mean people in America?
Low class. Low income.
Okay.
We have no idea how much money and how many opportunities are out there. And we are kind of peddled the same industries. So that when we are going through the system, and if we do matriculate into those, it's still controlled. So we don't really have an idea of what an opportunity should look like. We don't have any idea about those industries that are never spoken about and are worth a ton. And we even see that popping up on like TikTok and things like that. They're like, hey, did you know in tech, you actually don't even have you don't even need to have any tech skills. And you can still get paid $100,000 a year. And we're like, what?
Really? Like, do I need to be starting a career in tech?
TikTok? So
I heard you say that I needed to go a different direction.
Is that you, player? So, yeah. That's really just been eye-opening for me. So, let's kind of switch over to your entrepreneurial ventures.
Yeah.
And how exactly did you dip your toe into that?
Everything is like a play on my name because my name is Tony. But I really liked, okay, tone deaf. I'm like, oh, tone deaf would be cool. And like, it's basically me saying, you know, let's be tone deaf to to society's limited expectations of us. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the Baylor hat was an accident. I don't know what I was doing that I got bleach on it, but that mug lifted. And I was like, oh, this is clean, right?
Yeah.
So
why are you playing so much with bleach? Like,
right? I don't know. Lord, that was God. Anyway, and so I was like, I'm gonna buy three more hats. This is how I think the hats were like $3 or something like that, where I was getting them from. And so I just posted on my story. I was like, hey, I got these hats, y'all. People were messaging me, hey, can I get some? And it was just like from there.
They blew up.
I was just like, oh, okay, cool. And then it's like you have people from other like cities, they're seeing it on Instagram. And so that's when I started dabbing my toe in, like, okay, well, how much should I charge people? Like, I wanted to make money, but I didn't want to rob people blind. We were in college, right? You know, so a lot of people really didn't have any money like that. But so that was like the sticking my toe into just like, oh, okay, this is what it's like to make money. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't a lot of money, but it was cool because I always worked. So like at my most, I had 3 jobs. I was like the dining hall manager. I worked at CIS. I worked for the ACE program like 2 days a week. And then I had like a GA position at one point. So I'd always felt like, okay, if I worked, I'd have money, which means I could eat every day. That was my thoughts. I'm like, how do I eat every day?
That's the first incentive,
How do I eat every day? And like my parents have always been very supportive, but I kind of wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to make my own money.
Yeah.
But what started triggering me was the fact that I would like make some clothes or whatever. So the hats ended up turning into shirts, and then the shirts ended up turning into me starting a blog post, and it turned to me writing more and all these other things.
Ooh, but I love that so much.
I always knew I wanted to create. So like as a child, I was just like, I thought Oprah was dope. You know, I thought, you know, I wanted to be famous, but I can't sing a lick, but I wanted to be a singer, which is so childish. But either way.
But you were before your time, because now we have influencers.
People are not talented. Yeah.
All you need is an audience.
But the thing about it is like it's figuring out your audience, and it's like influencing to me is so I don't have the stomach for it because I'm too rogue with it. Influencing is very calculated. It's very,
after a while you have to be super strategic.
And me and strategy, I'd probably be Oprah now if I implemented it more. But no, I'm more a little bit too, I feel like, fly by the seat of pants. But once I started making my own money and I realized that, oh my goodness, I'm working at the mess hall for $8 an hour, but somebody just paid me $20 for a hat.
Right.
It's like,
that's my whole shit, because they wouldn't give you no hours anyway.
You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, dang, it's more than one way to skin a cat. And I just remember like someone like Keon. Keon was doing things like that. I was just like, what? Like Keon and then Steph, like they were doing things and they were generating income. And even like the alphas at the time, and I'm sure now we're like throwing parties and events. Johnny C was like the first person that I seen that was like a legit.
No, he would talk to me about entrepreneurship all the time. And I was like, it's not a little risky.
But he was serious about it. And so to see all of these people now, like, and even with Rocco, like, I end up going to Rocco. The time put in. It's 11 years in the game. So it's just like people will look from the inside out, from the outside in, and think like, oh, it was an overnight success. And it's like, nah, we've been at this thing since 09, 10.
We've been practicing these skills. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I say everyone doesn't have the stomach for it, because there's a lot that goes into ownership. You know, and even listening to certain podcasts, people talking about, you know, going into business for yourself, it's like, no, you go into business and then you make a system.
Yeah.
You make a system that's beneficial for other people. Yeah. And then once you get that system going, then you start working other systems, but you should not. And that's where I feel like, and this is me probably stepping out too far, that sole proprietor, when I started learning about like, okay, the difference between like Netta has her business or whatnot.
Right.
And the difference between like now Netta is like paying other podcasters to do teaching transitions, which is where we'll be at in another year or so.
Yeah.
Because you get what I'm saying? Let's claim that. Maybe I'll be the first one. But no, like the difference between like we need Netta for this to go off.
Yeah.
Then Netta is in Malibu talking about, okay, what we doing with this next business venture and teaching transitions podcast is still going on, right?
Right.
And I feel like it's that next step that that's where the greats are. That's where them people that you're talking about, like, but a lot of us, I feel like, are still at that sole proprietor stage, which is fine. Like, you got to start somewhere, but I think to go the distance, you have to start.
What the difference is?
Tell me, girl.
What's the difference? A mentor that has been there, that knows the roadmap. You gotta pay into those mentorships, and that's really been the difference for us, because you have someone that has made multi-million dollars and you're like, I'm here, Tell me about what exactly I need to do, because a lot of people say like consistency makes is the difference and making sure you're putting that content out. But you're right. You have to have some type of strategy over time. Like if I'm consistently putting the same dual stuff out, I'm not going to get back.
Yeah.
So you have to invest in a mentor. Like you have to do that to step it up. So when I think of Rocco and like where he is and where he could possibly want to be, I'm wondering if he's plugging into someone or he knows someone. And that's the hardest part, is knowing of someone. That's the difference in what we do and who we connect with, and then who others who have elevated. It's just who you know.
Yeah. So we were talking about that earlier about, you know, getting positions. Yeah. Like one thing that I can say is like, I got my very first job out of Adam. They was perusing through the resumes and they said, you know, let's at least look at this one. But after that, it was more so they'd seen my work and someone was like, have you ever thought about doing, you would be good, you know? So then it starts to be like, okay, but you have a name, you have the experience, but it's your relationship. And that's one thing I love about my agency. One of the taglines, our slogan is putting relationships first. It's all about relationships.
Yeah.
The older I get, real. The more I'm like.
That's real. Because I was like, previously in teaching, I was like, it should not matter whether you like the way I do something, if we're getting the outcome. It should not matter whether you like me, if we're getting the outcome, if you have no problems in my classroom, if my students are excelling. But it's political, because if I understand who you are and I can relate to who you are, then I know what type of outcome there may be, and I'm more comfortable with it. So no matter what, it's those politics. So in our group, we read Who Not How.
Okay.
And that's like a really powerful book. And not only does it talk about like you knowing the right person, but it talks about how you need to collaborate over competition. And sometimes that means collaborating with your competition. And that was a whole mind F to me.
See, I feel like I'm not doing this thing right. Because really? I did another interview with this agency called Collide Creative. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions they asked me was like, it was something along the lines of like, we're in this day and age where creatives feel like they have to compete with one another or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that? And in my head, and I said it, I was just like, I don't look at people as competition.
Yeah.
Like in my head, I'm like, oh, Netta got a podcast. Let me get on the podcast. Like, podcasting is something I think about. Let me spend time with Netta. Do you like podcast? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, anything, somebody has a t-shirt, let me support that. Like, let me.
There's too many ways to make money. And it's like, just because you're in the same industry doesn't mean we're in the same lane. Like,
but I get you. In my head, I'm like, well, maybe I am doing it wrong, because I'm just like, I really feel like there's enough for. So the reason that I even got in that book.
Yeah.
It's because another business owner, her name is Ebony, Organic Creations Online, told me about the Collide Box. She's like, hey, they're a cool agency that's really wanting people to pay attention to local vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you should apply to get your book in there. And I was like, thank you.
Yes.
Now, I have bought a copious amount of soap.
Yeah.
Like, I have purchased a lot of her products, you know? But it's just like, I love her products, you know? And she didn't have to, because she's been in the box forever. But she's forever telling me about different opportunities. So I'm like, the reason I am where I am is because Rocco allowed me to use his building to sell my shirts, sell my hats. Hey, I'll push your hats to other people and I'll just send you the money. Because Alfred comes down from Dallas for my book signing and does my balloons for the free, because we have this relationship and he believes in what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm where I am because my sorority sisters bought a lot of the books, and people that are my friends bought a lot of the books and then read them and were like, oh no, this is actually really good. Let me pass this on. So it's just like, I just feel like I've been supported. And so it would be a fool of me to not support others with intensity, especially when I believe in what you're doing.
Right. That's a difficult thing to manage, because like I said, being lower income, and just like when I say lower income, I mean you're not making $100,000 more, let's say $100,000 to $200,000 a year.
Oh, well, I'm lower income then. You should have told me, sis.
No.
Because I've been out here living like I'm well.
Right. No, but in America, you know, you make over $30,000. But when you think about it, the concept of money vastly changes once you're made, once you have $10,000 months, once you have $20,000 months. And I'm just like, in doing that, my mind has been blown. So as we go ahead and wrap up.
Okay.
This, because I was like, I said 20 minutes, but like, this has been a really good conversation. Yeah.
It has. It really has. I've enjoyed
Where are you going next? Where do you think you, as far as your business, where does your next step, what is your next venture, do you think?
I believe that you should really listen to, I believe that you should really listen to God, and I believe that you should really, if you keep seeing things in your mind, mm-hmm. you keep seeing things, then that's him trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
I have been seeing me on a stage reading a book to an audience. I've been seeing that. And I've been seeing it for a very, actually a long, before I'd written a book, before I'd even written a poem and started speaking publicly. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I'm just like, I love the shirts. I love designing things, but it's just like my heart is in writing. I love telling stories. I love listening to people tell stories, and I love writing things down, whether they're experiences of mine or they're the way that I would have imagined a situation to have been. And so I'm just like, I'm going to put more effort into writing.
Okay. Is this so good? That's amazing. I deal with the same thing, honestly.
What are you seeing?
Like, me speaking.
Yeah.
And just, honestly, this summer, I was just so mentally fatigued.
Yeah.
And just thinking, I'm pouring my everything into this school. And when it came down to it, I had the highest test scores in the entire school. But because, like, when I do things, I'm really focused on those things.
What's your zodiac sign?
I
want
to talk to you.
Look, look, I'm like, you sounded, what, look, I'm like, what's
your zodiac sign? What did you guess?
No, I mean, are you a Virgo?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Gemini. That always gets a, like, a bad response. But I'm a Gemini, so
look, I'm June 23rd. Yes. Look, I'm June 23rd, so I ain't gonna slug you, because depending on who we asking, they swear I'm one too. So that's why you're so gifted, sis.
I'll take that.
That's why you're so talented.
That's the nicest thing anyone has ever said about, like,
there's when people Gemini ask me,
yeah.
You know what it is? It's really because you just got it all.
Yeah.
See, usually God gives you like.
A little bit.
But see, the gym's got it all.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you got a lot.
You're right.
Then you become too much.
See, I attract the haters, yes. I know. So, like, when I'm off of my corner and I'm like, I'm busting out information. I'm getting this stuff, my classes together. My class is the best class.
Right.
We were online the entire year. And I got the best scores. And my principal didn't even mention me ever. I never got a employee of the hour, okay? Let alone day, week, month, year, nothing. So I was just like, the output and the input has to have some type of equality or something. Something has to work. So noticing that I just wasn't in that place to be able to get that type of reward. Like, it's not going to happen at a schoolhouse. So, this summer, I was just like, a lot of crying. Just like, God, please, what am I supposed to do? And I actually went to a tarot card reader on TikTok. And it was just one night, I had just wrote down. And she was like, some of the things that she had told me was like, you really need to volunteer and you need to step out and grow your mind, meaning you need to surround yourself with people that are not like you. And I know I'm really judgmental, but she said like less fortunate. And I was like, I don't think I'm fortunate. Like, I don't think that's it. So in that, I'm learning that I need to use my voice more, and that is how I elevate and connect with other people. So I'm finding a lot of fun in this, and just being able to be like, hey, would you like to have a conversation?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. I'm having fun in that.
And you're going
to
do well.
You were called to be a writer and that just reminds me of all the great people that I know that have written books, and they're just on stage and having, being able to like repeat your words and letting it resonate in your voice with other people is a gift.
Well, I think, you know, I'll get DMs from people, and you were one that was like, hey, the book was right on time. I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I love when people purchase something, but it makes me feel like I'm doing the right work when people take the time to actually read it and then say, hey, on page 27, when you said this, like, you don't know what you did. Like, I love this book. Or, you know, I got a DM the other day, and it was like, I've read the book 3 times. Like, sis, you really? So that makes me, and I'm like, I know it's short, sis, so that's how you were able to read it 3 times. But, you know, yeah, I'm also like, I'm like, okay, I had all these words in me, and it's real cheesy. I think it was a part of, like, the Jackson 5 movie that was, like, 7 hours long. But there's a part where, like, Michael was like, I have, like, all this music in me or something. Something along the lines of, like, I have all this music inside of me and I just want to get it out.
Yeah.
And so, for me, like, I don't know if it's me being an only child. I don't know if it's me, like, living life, reading. Like, I read a lot coming up. And I was the desk kid. I was really socially awkward. Like,
yeah.
And I think
I feel like I still am. So, like.
No, that's what I was going to say. So, it's like, there's something about I think there's something about the gym, and like, the Gemini specifically, that's, like, the coolest mofo in the room. But also, like, socially awkward in a sense at the same time.
Like, some people just can't handle it, like, at all. And I'm like, all right, I understand, I've gotten it a lot, but when you click, you click.
Well, I try not to click no more, sis, but it's having the, it's knowing that my words matter, like, truly making an impact. And, like, in my mind, I'm like, when I lay down and my arms are folded and rest in the 10 box, whatever kind of box it is, like, I want people to stand up at my funeral or whatever, homegoing, whatever, and say, this person made me feel X. Or, like, I knew Tony was doing this, or she was really passionate about this. Or, like, I want them to have things to remember me by, and not saying, like, oh, Tony was, like, not describing, like, me as a milkmaid.
Yeah. Super vague. Like, we hung out one time.
Yeah. Like, no. I want them to be like, no, like, it was something going on at the job. And Tony.
Yeah. Her words, Tony, like, really kept me together. And I was like, all right, I'm going to fight through, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's something I thought about. My uncle's funeral was on Wednesday.
Okay. And I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. It's a really small town in Oklahoma, and they had his funeral at, like, the biggest church in the area, and it was just so many people talking about how he was so selfless.
Yeah.
And the great thing that I took out of that was just, like, you're not serving enough. You're not serving people enough, because how could somebody in this town that, they probably have, like, 500 people living there in that town, bring all of these people from all of these states here and have so many great things to say about him. And he's in a small town. This is before social media. This is before all of that. So
I hate social media, by the way.
Yeah, I love it and hate it. I'm going to use it for what it. I'm going to make it do what it do.
I'll make it do what it do, but it's just like, I'm also like, I get overwhelmed and exhausted by receiving information and even feeling like I have to put information out.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you again. I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the questions there. Cool. Thank you so much for having us here.
No, thank you for having me, giving me a platform.
Yes. And we'll meet in a couple of years, and we'll look back at this interview.
Yeah. And smile, I'm sure.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, this is why we do interviews in person now.
Yeah.
Because I had one of my first ones was with Keon. I'm not sure if you saw that one. But then I was like, but Keon is so, like, energetic.